to the Total Car Score podcast, bringing you the world of cars from inside the car. And now your hosts, Carl Brower, Lauren Fix, and Javier Mota.
Well, here back at another adventure, this time with Land Rover Defender at the Land Rover Trek 2021. And here we are with Joe Everhart, the CEO of Jaguar Land Rover, and my two teammates. So you want to introduce yourself, Jeffrey? I mean, Brian. I was with Jeffrey yesterday, sorry.
Brian Campbell. I'm just a freelancer for Forbes and Rappaport.
And Tyler Tate, Action Sports Today.
Yeah. So, Joe, the last time we talked, we were at the other extreme of the Land Rover experience. Remember, we were in Miami.
We were in Miami,
that
absolutely
beautiful new dealership. That if you look at it from the outside, looks like an apartment building, and like then you go inside and it's like, wow, like this is a car dealership. So this is the other extreme of the experience. Tell us about it. How you put it together and why you put it together, more importantly.
Yeah, absolutely. So Trek has actually a long history for the Land Rover brand. It was started in 96 and it was conceived as a competition for dealership employees. We wanted to foster team spirit, having sales, service and parts work together in a competitive environment, and at the same time learn about the off-road capabilities of our product. So it was the ideal setting to do that. We ran that for a couple of years and then it kind of fell by the wayside. So 2 years ago, I actually visited a couple of dealerships and I found all these paraphernalia, old bibs and old cars. I was like, what is all this about? And learned about the history of Trek, and we decided 2 years ago to bring it back. So 2019 was the first time we had Trek. At the time, we had 35 teams compete. We wanted to redo it in 2020, but then COVID hit, made it a little more difficult. So we're really excited that we're able to bring it back in 2021. We have 70 teams compete in this season. So dealerships from all across the country competing with each other. And we thought, well, since we have the setup, why not use that to do a media wave as well? And we invited some journalists to go through exactly the same experience, and our retailers will go through.
Thank you for that. Like, we really enjoyed it. And let's start with Taylor back here, because he had the roughest experience, I think. Can you explain?
Just a tough night post-dinner, and getting back to the competition in 100%.
Yeah, but I have to tell you, you came at the perfect time, because you showed up for the towing competition, and you had experience with that, right? A lot of it.
Yeah, I've been pushing and towing for a while. I used to work for Delta Airlines pushing planes, so a little 30-foot trailer is nothing compared to a 777.
So the time limit was 1 hour, and we did 40 minutes.
Yeah, 42. Wow, but we took a
1 minute. Oh, 1 minute. Yeah, it was probably my fault because I didn't see that coming. So Brian, you were here in the morning because you were like navigating the 20-year-old GPS device to find the car. It took us what? How long?
Yeah, I think it was about an hour to find the car. We went 2 hours or 2 miles in the wrong direction, because I think the way that the coordinates, because I didn't go over the GPS unit the night before, which is a mistake.
So, because Taylor was going to do it.
Yeah. So I basically just learned how to use it on the fly. And then when we found it, I think there's two other cars, so we weren't the last people to leave. And then I think once we got in the car and once we got our bearings, we kind of used the map in the Defender itself and just kept that to scale to the map. Right. And then once we found the river, we just kind of used that as a waypoint and just kind of stayed along that road. And it just made life so much easier just to kind of have that like large landmark to go off of.
So, Joe, going back to the history and like how these cars are meant to be used, right? I mean, when I had run Range Rover, especially, like, you feel guilty like getting into it, like, you don't want to get them dirty. But then the Defender came back, and this is what specifically was brought back. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it is our most capable vehicle. I mean, all Land Rovers and Range Rovers are extremely off-road capable, and you know, you should never be afraid to take a Range Rover anywhere, because it also is meant to be on the mountain and get dirty if need be. But in terms of capability and just the overall toughness, Defender is really the vehicle you want to use for a competition like this. And hopefully you got to experience it. We had 12 challenges today that involved navigational skills, some physical activities, as I'm sure you experienced, as well. And, you know, it showcases what the vehicle is able to do. And more importantly, what teams are able to achieve if you work together, you know, unified and with a clear purpose.
Yeah. But Taylor, you do a lot of adventure stuff and all that. How does that compare anything that you have done to this?
Oh, well, nothing really compares to this because it's a different experience. You know, even a standard, you know, camp, I don't think anyone prepares for being in an environment where you actually have to do the type of competition that you do here. But the fact that you can and that the car is built for that is what's the good part. You know, knowing how to do that is good. Having to use it is where you hope you never have to be in that position.
Yeah, like Brian Figueroa this morning with yeah. the GPS. But Brian, we shared the wheel half and half almost, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Tell me, what did you think about like how the car behaved?
Well, I think you can always go like off-roading, go down a trail, and it's pretty much like aimlessly. You're just kind of going on the trail for the trail. I think what I enjoyed the most was challenge number 3 because it was off-roading, but you had the little punch card on the front of the car that you had to drive up to a tree to so you can get out and then you can punch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we were a little bit confused because we thought, oh, we have to like hit the car,
yeah.
the tree with
the car.
I was
like, am I punching the car with the car? So I think like giving some purpose or having objectives along the way, I think make it more interesting, and it's not just kind of driving down the trail. You're actually kind of experiencing, you're forced to experience certain things and go offline and attack things at an odd angle, and it really kind of you know, puts the car, I wouldn't say the car is outside of its comfort zone, but it might put you in outside of your comfort zone just trying to like take an awkward angle down a trail or across a trail in my case, going backing. Basically we tried to attack the rock crawling section, mm-hmm. but there's too much mud at that point, so I just got super frustrated and said screw it, and I went back around the other way, and then it basically was like reversing back down.
It was a very good way to do it because we found the 3 remaining cars
yeah,
to
yeah.
be punched there.
So that I think the having the objectives going off road is definitely it adds an interesting twist to it.
Yeah. So Joe, based on your research with your consumers, how many people get to do not the experience like itself because it's for retailers, but something as extreme as this?
I mean, we do have here at the Biltmore our Land Rover Experience Center, and with the purchase of every Land Rover, you have the opportunity to come here and experience, not in a competitive setting like this, but just, you know, a day off-roading on the same terrain. So a lot of customers make actually use of that. And then we have, for this year, for the first time, a consumer-facing program as well. We built a 220 limited edition Defender trophy. Edition vehicles, and 90 of those 220, it's on a first come first serve basis, will actually be here early October, where customers go through a very similar experience like you did today. So based on the big success with retailers, we thought, well, why not do the same for our customers? So it's a first, and if that's successful, we'll certainly build on that.
Can you give us a little business recap of how you are doing? I'm thinking you're doing really well because you cannot build enough cars. Nobody can, right?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I would say that again after COVID, that we're going through unprecedented times. But certainly we are, again, at the moment, just because there's absolutely no supply available. We have severe interruptions or disruptions of our supply chain, just like any other manufacturer. And as a result, you know, we're sold out. We have wait lists for months at the moment, which is a good problem to have, but one that obviously is concerning if customers have to wait for too long, if retailers don't have the throughput and the cars to sell. So we got to find a way to get back to a more regular and steady supply. But yeah, it's unprecedented. The good news is that, you know, customers love the new product. They're willing to wait. And maybe there's a slight change in the way cars are being bought in the U.S., where consumers know if I wait, I get exactly what I want, and it might be worth the wait, as opposed to, you know, instant gratification, which is what we trained the customer over many years to expect. So we'll see. But it's tough at the moment.
You have a question, Brian, for Joe?
I was just, when I was, because our team name was Camel Trophy Classic. Mm-hmm. So I guess, like, how much, when they restarted Trek, I guess, how much were they looking to do? Obviously, you can't name it Camel right. with the tobacco, but right. How much did kind of Land Rover use the Camel Trophy as kind of inspiration for Trek?
Well, definitely. I mean, at the time when it first was started in 96, that was kind of the inspiration. Obviously, Camel Trophy was even more extreme, both in terms of the location and in terms of what they actually put the vehicles through. And it was over a much longer period of time. But yeah, it's the same basic idea to put the car out there in an extreme environment, but also make sure that the team aspect of you know, working together to get the best out of the car. So yes, a lot of it was inspired by that. And if you look at the trophy edition that we put together for customers, the look is very much reminiscent of the Camel Trophy. So it's the same color, the yellow and black, with some of the same logo treatment. And you know, I would like one day to get a little more extreme again and see whether we can relive the real Camel Trophy again. Yeah,
without smoking.
Without smoking, exactly.
You have a question?
No, I'm all good.
Oh, good, yeah. So, well, you look good, much better than last night, so we're happy to see you like that. So, Joe, thank you very much again. It was an amazing experience, and I hope that a lot of people get to experience when they do it for the customers. So now we're going to go and find out if we won.
What well, exactly. Think, well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
hopefully we won.
Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And as you said, now we, in about half an hour, we'll have the final and the ceremony for the winners. So, you know, hopefully you guys finish on top.
Yeah. I think we did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening. For more, check us out online at TotalCarScore.com.